Fenn Christian, greetings to you and present again this evening as we gather in again to look into God's Word and look at another commandment. Commandment for tonight is thou shalt not kill. Exodus 20, verse 13. Four words in English. Those that understand Hebrew tell me it's two words in Hebrew, no murder. And I take that that's right. So as we look at this commandment tonight, the sixth commandment, and understand what it has and why God has it written for us again, the purpose of this commandment is to preserve life, to teach people the sanctity of human life, and that they are to hold human life in a very high esteem, as God does. He holds human life in the highest of life. There is life in other animals, but not eternal life. So we are the highest of his creation. Man is created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, man's life is of an infinite value to God. And because it's an infinite value to God, man's life, other people's lives, our own life, and other people's lives around us should be of infinite value too. God's master creation, God's royal masterpiece, God's precious possession, and God's priceless property, as God holds a very vital life and the seriousness of life and the importance of life. So as we think of the New Testament view, as we think of thou shalt not kill, if you want to turn with me to Galatians 5, 19, 20, and 21, I know that as we look at this verse, it talks about a little more than about murder, but murder is, killing is included here. These three verses talk about, Paul talks, Randy Rice to the Galatians, and for us tonight, now the works of the flesh are manifest when the which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can't handle life carelessly and unforeseeingly and without paying a heavy penalty. Then Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see that this commandment is carried over into the New Testament, and the sacredness of life, the specialness of life, the importance of man, and even as we were singing in our song that a brother read in our devotions, the sacredness of life and the sanctity of life and the importance of life comes as well because God created life. He created Adam and Eve in the garden, and life was important. And he made us creatures of choice. Man fell. Man chose to reject their creator and turn their back on an almighty God. But man is still paying the price. And then God cared enough to send his son and to come into the world to redeem fallen man. So we can sit here tonight in the new age as Gentiles and be redeemed and know who Jesus is and know what he's done for us. And it shows the importance of life and how he continues to care. He cared for us in the outstart and he cares for us. Now, I'd like to look at three aspects tonight: the authority and the hostility and the sanctity. The authority, as we look at thinking of the importance of life and how we are personal, we're purposeful, As a created being, we have personality. We can think. We can plan. We can put things together and then decide what we're going to do with the things we put together. Or we decide what we want to do, and then we put it together. When I wanted to make a grain roaster, I knew what I wanted to do to roast soybeans, so I welded metal together until it did what I wanted it to do. So we have personality within us as man, and this shows our distinctiveness as man. We can think. We have morality. We care about others. We care about ourselves. So we have morality as well. We have dignity. We as man have we have dignity. We do care about ourselves. We foresee things. We observe. And we'll see that a little more a little later. And then we have value. We have value. We're important. We're needed. We're wanted. We're cared for. God called us aside and called us above all his creation because he wanted to worship, wanted us to relate to him so we can worship him. And he wanted fellowship with us. That's the word I wanted. He wanted fellowship and a relationship with us. And he wanted that, and that gives us value. So this is what's found in us as a created being, as God created us. As we look at the manliness of man, we are not of the flowers. This morning here in whatever town it was, you know, we went past this house that they did a lot of work and they had a lot of pretty flowers up front. Well, you know, we're not of the floral. Those flowers are put there and the flowers are not enjoying the flowers. So we're not of the floral. We're not of the animals. We passed a drove around today. We saw animals here and there. And we're not a part of the animals. But we as man can take flowers and arrange flowers for our beauty, for their beauty and our enjoyment. So that's continued proof of what we are that as a man. We as man can take pieces and put together, and I said about a roaster, but I also think about a jumbo jet. Man will put a jet together, and they'll put metal and pieces together, and they'll take what God had created and work it, and we can take it and fly it and go where we want to go. Well, I never saw flowers arrange flowers. I never saw monkeys arrange an aircraft and then fly it. So as we look at the value of life, the authority that God has given and put in us, and the difference that we have in life, we fear death as we look at other life, and we as man fear death. This, before I came out here, I was working with dried up leaves on my sycamore trees. And they're big leaves like this, you know, and the wind blows them around. And I didn't hear any of those leaves say, I'm afraid of falling on the ground, and then Dale's going to come along with this big green machine and suck me up in there. I didn't hear any of the leaves talking about the fear of falling to the ground. I didn't hear that, and as I went with my lawnmower and chopped them up and sucked them into my John Deere. Oh, excuse me for saying John Deere. I like green lawnmowers. But anyway, and I sucked them up into my lawnmower, and I didn't hear the leaves say, oh my. They didn't fear that. So we as mankind have the value and have things that are very different. And we have to realize that and do realize that. And I laughed here about a year ago. I was driving along, and every now and then I just turn the radio on for craziness, you know. Well, no. I usually have a couple stations, but every now and then I'll turn across the dial just to see what stupid things I can hear. And sure enough, I was driving up to Harrisburg, and I turned the radio on and heard this lady talking about this chimpanzee. And I thought, let's just see, you know. And I listened a minute or two, and I was going to turn it off, but I thought, no, let's just see how, I was going to say dumb, pardon me, I'm from Pennsylvania, but, you know, how low people can stoop. And I listened for the next hour and I didn't waste an hour. But she went on to say, and they were dialoguing how this chimpanzee in the Harrisburg Zoo, and how it has to be proof that man has come from animals. Because as she is tending this chimpanzee, and this chimpanzee's little chimpanzee died, and she was so sure that the mother chimpanzee was crying and mourning, and she went on and on, and it was a call-in show, and I laughed. No, I didn't laugh, but I thought, how low can people stoop to try to put together how this chimpanzee and how that it's evident, it's very evident to her, to the one moderating this show, that how humans have evolved from animals. But it's just, we get carried away, and our minds are able to think. We can put projects together, and we can do them, and God has created us in that way, and that helps us to understand more thoroughly and be satisfied and be convinced and know and develop of you. You know, each of us, we sometimes wonder how people can stoop to some of the levels of what they do and the value of life, or not valuing life. You know, value it like it ought to be, or not value life. And killing is no big deal. We do what they want to do. And what happens is that when we all have a world view, we all have a value system. And this is why people can think some of the funny stuff they think, because their value system is all messed up. And we have to have the right value system of who am I? And the answer to the three questions I have is going to determine how I'm going to view life around me, my own life and the life of people around me. Who am I? Where did I come from? And where am I going? I mean, those are three questions that every person answers one way or another. You might say, well, nobody ever asked me that. But you still have a view of those three questions. You still have an answer. And your answer to those three questions are going to determine how you're going to respond in life situations around you. Who am I? Where did I come from? And where am I going? Who am I? I'm a child of God, created in God's image. He loves me, and He has a plan for me, and He's in heaven, and He's in charge over my life. I know that's sort of a long answer. But if we don't have the purpose that Daniel has, Daniel knew that God was in heaven and God was in charge. And you and I need to have that same view. So we knew where we come from. Okay, and where am I? Yeah, who am I? I'm a child of God, created by God in God's likeness. Where did I come from? God created me. He knew me. He had a plan for me. He has a purpose for me. He knew me in my mother's womb. So he knew exactly where I come from. And He had a plan for me. Where am I going? He has a plan for me. There is an eternal. He created me to be an eternal being. Now it's my choice. Do I give my heart and life back to God, my Creator? Or do I take it in my own hands? I don't have to. Because of the fact, and don't lose sight of this, the fact that I can worship God is the reason I can choose to do right or wrong. Because if I couldn't choose to do right or wrong, I couldn't worship God. So don't, I hear people say, well, why didn't God just make us like a robot so we'd just sort of be good and, you know, we'd bounce along in life and everything would be wonderful. He has a higher purpose for us than the bees and the birds and the pigs and the cattle. That's a form of life, understand that. But He's got a purpose for us that way outweighs all that, and we need to keep that in focus. And that's why we handle life very carefully, and we, under the authority of God's word, and we preserve it, we preserve our own life, and we help preserve the life of those people around us. So God is personally involved in who I am, and where I came from, and where I am going. am I. God cares. God has a plan. God has a way. Do I care? Do I take it serious? Do I realize what God has for me? Now we move into the hostility. We had the authority. Now we think a little more of the hostileness of man. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We have a choice. A carnal man, a carnal mind, I have a choice. I can be carnally minded, that's earthly, selfish, self-centered, worldliness, and we can go on. That to be that way, to be minded like that, and then make decisions like that, that's death. But to be spiritually minded, to realize that God created me and He knows me, He has a special plan for me, He gifted me, my abilities are gifts from Him. Now it's my responsibility to use them for His honor and His glory. And that spiritual mind is to be life and peace. I can enjoy life here and life that leads on to eternity with Him in heaven. So the sinfulness of man, this the sinful part of man, the man that we, when people don't realize who God is and who we are in God, the sinful minds don't like to be in control. And this happened already in the garden when Adam and Eve were tempted and Satan tempted them, and they turned their back on their Creator. They turned away from their Creator and yielded to Satan. And man began to think that there was no yesterday and there's no tomorrow. So what does it really matter? Why don't I just do what I want to do and do it the way I want to do it? And in a sense, that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. And in a sense, that's why we're in the mess we're in today in the world, because man has continued to do that and taken life into his own hands. And we're satisfied. We don't want God's plan, so we make our own plan. So then turning our back on God and looking at evolution and that man evolved out of this and that. And just since I'm out here in Missouri, one day I turned the radio on, I don't know what it was, but Minnesota, pardon me. And the fellow was reading out of what he says is in a modern day textbook in our average school about evolution, what our children are taught in the public schools. And, we don't go there, many of us, but we can be thankful we don't go there. That's why we have our own school. And I just listened. He read for about 5-10 minutes, and he said he was reading off the internet, off of certain books that are in 80 or 90% of the schools. And I thought, hey, just how we evolved and this and how this animal moved, and then they did this, and I thought, but that's what our people are being taught. That's what our children are being taught, and it's putting life away, and it's a wrong view of what God has for us. And then life doesn't look peace like it's minded carnally, and so we don't have the life and peace, and we have the law of God for man was taken, and man put it and ignored it and put it into his own. I had an impersonal beginning. Time is just passing, and where I'm going to go is just chance. I don't know. So it's an impersonal beginning. It's time, which I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what. And it's all chance. So we'll just choose to live hostile to God and turn our back on God and know, not trust God, and put life into our own hands. They tell me the clown Woody Allen, I don't know much about him, but a little article I read said, he said he's afraid to die, but he's not afraid to die, but you don't want to be there when it happens. And you and I, and this is the casualness and the alienness and the loneliness and the emptiness that the world around us, when we don't take God at His commands, and we don't follow, and we don't take the sanctity of life, the holiness, the purity of life, the way God has had it, and we don't recognize it as God did. And another article read said that Paul Gauguin was a painter, and he was painted before he, when he tried to commit suicide, and they were picking him up and trying to haul him off to the hospital. He painted on his canvas, "Where'd we come from? Nowhere. Why do I exist? No reason. Whither do I go? No place." And that's the kind of mindset that the world around us has. And we need to be careful that we don't absorb that. We might say, well, yeah, well, I would never get to that point. But then why do we do have amongst us, and we have people who despair of life and think of suicide and so forth, and the reason they lose sight of their purpose for being here and the reason for being here. And that's exactly what Satan wants us to do, to lose sight and of the exact principle and the real reason that we're living here. Man is an impersonal beginning, time and chance. Again, to continue this wrong worldview, and we need to see that we're not absorbed in that. God has a plan for us. We have personality. It makes a difference from the rest of God's creation. We have dignity, that we're made in His image. We have morality. We have a sense of right and wrong, and we have value. And God has a plan for us. Genesis 1 through talks about Genesis 1. God said it was good. Man was created, and it was good. But by Genesis 3, man chose to be hostile to God. He turned his back on God, and he lost sight of what God really had in mind for us. And the challenge for us is today that we don't lose sight for today, that we know who we are, we know where we come from, and we know where we're going, and we know the Lord is our Savior. And I appreciate the devotional meditation tonight. There is a plan, and there is a way. God has a plan, and God has a way for each one of us to realize that life is sacred and life is important, and that we should not kill. We should be careful that we have this, see the sanctity of life, the importance of life, and we know who we are, and then the challenges of life. When we realize the importance of life and have a proper world view, we preserve our own welfare, and then we preserve and we care about our children. We care about our fellow church members. We care about people. When we're living and serving, and we see people, and every pair of eyes that we look into, we realize there's an eternal being. There's a never-dying soul behind as a part of those eyes. And that person, and we care for them. We respect them. We respect them in just multiple areas of life. We won't think about throwing in the towel. Homicide would be another. People are just blown away, and it's meaningless. Life is meaningless, and without God, that's how it's going to be. But today, we need to keep ourselves clear and pure, and how we recognize life and realize life and see life as from God. Because much of the world around us, much of the electronic world, much of the magazine world, is going to be very careless about life. It's going to have the pictures, the books we look at, the videos we may look at. We need to be very careful the type and the kind of those electronic entertainment, we may call it, that we permit for ourselves, for our children, and for those who care about us, because a lot of that has very little meaning about life. I don't look at much of that stuff, but I travel a lot, so sometimes when I'm eating breakfast, the most I see of electronic stuff is TV is on in a lunchroom in a motel when I'm eating, and just what I see there, the kind of blowing up people and blowing up buildings and the destructiveness of things and the destructiveness of life and it's then they wonder why there is so much murder and all of this thing. But it's all a cheap view of life, and it's what the people want, and it leads to carelessness, and then it leads from homicide to suicide, the act of one causing the end or causing their own death. You and I didn't give ourselves life, and you and I don't have the privilege to take our life. God gave us life, and God will end our life. When he's through with us, he's finished with us here, he will know when to call us home. We don't have the privilege of taking our own life. Or we don't have the privilege of taking another person's life. Now we think of abortion. We can think of euthanasia. We don't have the privilege. My children don't have the privilege to decide that they'll live long enough and we'll give him a sweet little pill and we love him so much and he'll go to sleep. They don't have that privilege. And I don't have that privilege. But there's doctors in Michigan, Dr. Gaborton, on Death Row is a prison, but I understand they call that Death Row too, because you can go in there and tell the doctor that you think you're through, and he'll just give you nice pills and roll you over in another room and give you sweet music. Someone article already said he gives his patients two kind of pills. He don't take their life. What's the deceptiveness of life? He don't take their life, but he gives them two kind of pills. Now he says, "Sir, here's two kind of pills, and for sure don't take the two at one time. Because if you take the two at one time, you just sweetly go to sleep." So they find a room, and after a while they're gone. How can people move to that kind of philosophy? He says, "I'm not taking people's lives." And in a sense, they're taking their own. But how do they move to that kind of a philosophy that at some point, at whatever age I am, I move to that point where I think I've lived long enough and this is a sweet way to end life? It's a total worldview, wrong view of life. That's the only way a mindset can be so wrong and seem so right. And we need to be careful that we're not swallowed into this and sucked up into it. That fits. Because it's the wrong view. It's selfishness. You know, I'm a man of my own fate. I didn't know where I come from. I didn't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm here. So what does it matter? So I feel comfortable ending my life. Or feel comfortable taking somebody else's life. I got angry enough, I got mad enough at somebody else, so I just took their life. And we could go on and on in this subject tonight and how we get caught up in it. Death and dying. You tell me that John Fletcher, there's a teaching and a training that you can take a course and you can get a video and you can read a book. You understand? The book can be bought and a video, a DVD or whatever, a CD, I'm not sure what comes with it. Something comes with it. And it just tells you just nicely how to end your life. Again, how do we ever get to where we are? How'd society ever fall to the state it is? They had a wrong view of life. They didn't realize the importance of life, the necessity of life, the purpose of life. And you and I, as Christians, find purpose in life, find reason in life. And we find it in Christ Jesus. And we need to keep the right view of life. And we're not to kill. Thou shalt not kill. It's not up to us to end life, or not up to us to put an end to life. And that's why we mentioned abortion before, and I did last night, but again, why people are comfortable doing that, because again, it's a total wrong view of life. They can just comfortable sucking them out of the womb. I didn't want this baby, and I don't know where I'm going, so why would I know where they're going? And we need to see who we are and what God has for us, and understand the meaning of life. Matthew 5, 21 and 22 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." And we see that this kind of attitude and thing and importance, and that as God has the importance, and He's made it clear here in Matthew that we shall not kill, and life is important, and that we need to be, our attitude toward those people around us is revealing our attitude toward God. And that's how with the Ten Commandments, we started with the first four, and it was our view toward God. Now the last six are going to be more, is our view toward man, and our view of God is going to directly indicate our view, how we think of each other. Because if I don't respect God's call upon my life, then I'm not going to respect my parents' call upon my life. I'm not going to respect my church leader's responsibility to my life. I'm not going to respect the policeman's responsibility to my life. And I will just take life carelessly, empty and without meaning. And I will not, but God makes it very clear. The Lord makes it very clear in Matthew here and other portions the importance of life, and that Raca means empty head or fool or idiot. So we need to really watch how we view other people. I like the meaning of that empty head. Another dictionary said in there, dog brain. And just how we view people, we daresn't view people that meaningless. And when we start to feel angry, bitterness, envy, jealousy, and we could go on, and a lot of those uncontrolled temper, stealing, lusting, rebelling, all those things are evidence of how I am viewing God, and then that's exactly how I view other people. Indignation, wrath, disappointment, fury, uncontrolled spirit, feeling ill will towards other people mistreating me. Again, all of those misfeelings are evidence of my wrong view of God, of who God is, and then I don't have a right view of who people are. And the commandments are given to help us keep a right view of God, so that we know who God is, and the first four taught us that. The last four are telling us how to relate to each other, so that we keep ourselves clear and clean in our view towards those people around us, that we don't descend to the wrong view of people, even gossip, a misuse of my words towards other people and toward other people, and just distance me from them. And I'm responding in a poor view of who God is and who the people around me are. And we need to be very careful that we hold a clear, strong view of who God is and who life is. And we respect the sanctity of life and the pureness of life and the wholeness of life and what God has for us. Because the world around us rubs off on us very, very easy, quicker than we would like. And we need to stay firm and clear. And I like the devotion that Dennis read. And so where are you tonight? We see the law, and we see what the law is telling us not to kill. And we might say, well, we don't kill. I didn't pull a gun on anyone and so forth. And that's true. But how am I viewing life? How am I viewing God? Then how am I viewing my life and my responsibility to God? And then how am I viewing the people around me? Do I realize that every person I look at, I see God in them? I love them because God loves them. We care for the people around us because God cares for the people around us. Every person we look at, we love them because God loves them. We care for them. We respect them. Whatever the situation is, we're called to respect them. We may not be out to shoot them, but we're called to respect them because God loves them. We need to love them. Whether we're driving, whether we're talking, whether we're walking, what just all areas and all walks of life. How is my view of life? What is your view of life tonight?